What's up, Syracuse fans? It's Thursday morning, and we have a lot to talk about, namely Carlos Del Rio Wilson, the newest addition of Syracuse football in the quarterback room. What does this mean for the Orange going forward? We touched up on it yesterday. We're going to go head first today and talk about the program as a whole, Dino Babers, the ripple effect on the recruitment trail. We're going to tell you what this does for him and his job security. Plus, you hollered at us on Twitter. We're responding here today, and we'll cap off the show with another depth chart analysis. Can't talk about the quarterbacks without talking about the running backs. All that and more on Locked On Syracuse. Let's do it.
Our Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome with Matt Bonaparte. I'm Brad Klein. Very happy to be with you here on this glorious Thursday morning. Syracuse football wakes up on the correct side of the pillow because they needed a quarterback and they got a quarterback. Carlos Del Rio Wilson is
still
here.
Doesn't feel
and
real,
I think it doesn't feel real. Four-star coming from Florida to Syracuse out of nowhere. 2 weeks after the initial call from Dino Babers, Carlos Del Rio Wilson is a member of Syracuse football.
I mean, yeah, this is crazy. I'm very excited. I'm probably the most excited I've been about a transfer or recruit ever, I think. I mean, this is just, I'm amped.
It's up there because Syracuse hasn't had a tremendous amount of success with the portal. In fact, they lost. You can make the argument they're best quarterback and their best wide receiver, undoubtedly their best wide receiver last year, to the portal mid-season. So this has been kind of a rough area of concern for Syracuse fans and especially for Syracuse coaches. No more. Again, we have a lot to talk about. More on Carlos Del Rio Wilson. We're going to talk about what kind of ripple effect he will have on the program. We'll cap off the show with the running backs. But Bones, let's talk about what they said, they being Locked On Syracuse Nation, Twitter, and Twitter is a loud check and balancer, I guess you could say, on our powers as voice of the people. We gave you our opinions on what this means and who he is and how much he's going to play, and you responded. And I've just got a few tweets out here that we're going to read and respond to. So Matt Albrecht at Matt Albrecht 10, because there are nine other Matt Albrechts, had this to say. He says, if I had to guess right now, I'd say Garrett starts out the season as the starter, and after a few games of him not being much better than last year, Carlos takes over for the rest of the season. I feel like it's a pretty lukewarm take. That's the safe take.
Well, it's the exact same thing we said last year, remember? I mean, this is the entirely similar conversation to Vito and Schrader was, all right, week four, Schrader starts. And what was it, week three in Albany? He got the starting spot. So, I mean, we were right back then. Maybe Matt had the same take last year this time. I don't think it's a hot take, like you say, Brad. Garrett Schrader, you know, we'll get into a couple more tweets, but they both have their pros and cons, these guys. So, again, we haven't even seen Carlos play collegiate football, so that's a huge con for him. But I'd like to say that he's going to get his shot.
As a reminder, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We're on YouTube as well. Our condolences. I'm going to shave eventually. We're talking about you and what you had to say about what we said about Carlos Del Rio Wilson, the newest edition of Syracuse football, transfer quarterback, former four-star, coming from UF, going to SU in a shocker. And Twitter came down on us pretty hard, and not everyone was as lukewarm as Matt Albrecht. You got The Observer at Observation 1776 saying, Bones, we are brutal, close quote. Schrader is twice the quarterback this guy is. Schrader started his first year as an SEC quarterback, What are you talking about? It's great to add competition. Schrader is a bigger runner and has a better arm. Schrader is the hope. So I will say this, in case you missed the podcast from yesterday, go check it out. It's still up there wherever you get your podcast, that Wednesday edition. I had a pretty similar take to the Observer here, where I feel like it's going to be Schrader for most of the season, if not all. I kind of feel like this tweet is more directed at you, Bone, so your response.
I think this guy's hilarious. I mean, first of all,
he's got an eagle as a profile pick.
He goes, Schrader is twice the quarterback this guy is. Have you observed him play, Mr. Observer? I think not. I think that you've seen Carlos play just as much as I have, and you've seen Garrett Schrader play probably as much as I have, and you'd know that he doesn't have an arm. So I don't know how he could possibly have a better arm. I don't understand at all what you're saying about this, but I appreciate that Dave Tindall, my guy, comes in here and says, yep, Schrader has a better arm than who? Me? Sure, not even close. But we're looking for an ACC quarterback here. They air it out some, and then the best running back in the country has a shot at the Heisman. SU must win for that to happen. Listen, Dave's got it right on the nose, and I appreciate that from Dave because he said exactly what I would have said into response to the Observer. Listen, Schrader's got an arm, a better arm than pretty much no quarterback in the country. So I don't know where the heck you're getting that take from, Mr. Observer. And you haven't even seen the guy play. At least give him a shot. Why are you married to Garrett Schrader after he showed you time and time again he is the king of throwing the wounded duck? I don't know. Why are you married to that idea? Makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I think, in all fairness, you were saying yesterday, you just want to see him. You're not sure 100%.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm not saying 100% he's better. Schrader. I just want to see him get a shot.
That, I feel like, ironically, is the most similar thing that you can say from this year to last year. The biggest comparison you can make from last year's QB debate to this one, which is this. Hey, I don't know how good Garrett Schrader is, but I do know how bad Tommy DeVito is.
Exactly.
And let's just see him. I just want to see him because I, as the Syracuse fan, genuinely curious to see if it's going to work. And did it work last year with Garrett Schrader? I don't know. You can make the argument it did. You can make the argument it didn't. They, on one hand, were a middle-of-the-pack ACC offense. On the other, they were the worst passing offense in the country. So, rather, in the conference, one of the worst in the country.
Yeah. Mr. Observer, I don't think your huge opposition to Carlos here holds that much weight.
Yeah, but huge for us to get some Twitter backing from Dave. Dave Tindall.
Dave's my dude.
Yeah, always getting brownie points from us. We don't really want to respond on Twitter and get into this whole
thing. I don't know. Maybe nice. I usually will. If we weren't doing an episode,
it's nice
on
to
it,
have
like,
a guy like Dave who's willing to get his hands dirty once in a while and help us out there. That's kind of huge,
yeah,
not going to lie. So, okay. So, we voice our opinions, you voice yours, we respond to yours. It's an open dialogue here on Locked On Syracuse.
Please
now, let me
keep
tell
the
you
tweets
about,
coming, too, by the way.
Yeah, keep them coming. We had the poll. All right, so we might as well reveal the results here. I threw out a poll on Twitter, and it was, hey, not who's going to be the day one starter. Who's going to start most of the games next year? Either Garrett Schrader or Carlos Del Rio Wilson. 61% of Locked On Syracuse fans said Carlos Del Rio Wilson.
Yeah, and I think that the fans who voted that way are thinking in the same kind of line that Albrecht was thinking, where, yeah, Schrader's going to start the first few games, but there's a good shot that Carlos comes in and immediately shows that he's the better quarterback and he has the best chops, and he takes over that spot, kind of like Garrett did to Tommy last year. So I think a lot of those people have that same kind of line of thinking. And obviously, again, I'll reiterate that I can't say for sure that Carlos Del Rio Wilson's going to come in and be a great gunslinger or anything like that, but by what we've seen in terms of his scouting reports and his highlights and whatnot, the guy can sling it. Something that Garrett Schrader just can't do, flat out.
The good news is it's very unlikely that Schrader becomes a worse thrower. So you know what you're going to get in Garrett Schrader. We'll see. I actually think that he has room to grow in his passing ability. So maybe he does improve, and maybe he comes into the fall as a different quarterback. We don't know. Now, by the way, let me tell you about Built Bar, because I feel like every other episode we tell you all these exciting things. Oh, Built Bar has this flavor. Built Bar has that flavor. Well, now we've been asking. Built is delivering. Built granola bars are here. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. That's my favorite. Want to try all three? Yeah, you can get the mixed box like I did at built.com right now. So different, from the Built bars and from the puffs. Built granola bars are loaded with granola. It's the perfect combination of crunch and chewiness. But just like bars and puffs, these babies are packed with protein, covered in 100% real chocolate, 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, just 4 grams of sugar. Built granola bars will change your world. Now, Built has cracked the code to better granola. They're the perfect healthy snack to pack in your lunch, take on the road, take hiking, eat as a snack, even eat as a dessert afterwards, after at night, after the game, whatever. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, provides tons of health benefits. All you have to do, go to built.com and get the granola bars right now. The offer, built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, it's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And Brad, thank you. Or actually, not Brad. Brad, this is not directed towards you. To the audience, thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the quote take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Although, Brad, you can listen to it if you'd like. Here's the other thing I have to say, Brad. We came on this podcast the other day, and we ripped Dino Babers. We ripped him. We said he doesn't have the chops to get a quarterback, to recruit, to do anything. That still might be true, but he at least put a step in the right direction in Carlos Del Rio Wilson. So I want to have a conversation with you about two things. What does this do, one, for Babers' recruiting ability down the line? And two, does this help his job at all?
Yes, is the answer to both questions. Yeah, so, well, here's the thing, right, is that we were on the podcast, like you mentioned, and we were ripping Babers for not getting good recruits. The best recruit you've gotten is a four-star named DeVito, and now you got another four-star, and his name is Carlos. So there's really, we really have to go back on that. I'm not sorry for saying it. I'm sorry if people still think I believe it, because clearly he disproved it, but at the end of the day, you got to win on the field. So we'll see what Carlos Del Rio Wilson is on the field. Does it save his job? No. I think John Wildhack is only interested in dollars and cents and wins. So I think this will help them with that moderately at the very least, if not drastically over the years, because this is not just a win now move. It's a win later move. It's a win now move because Justin Lanson gets hurt. Basically, the next day they call up Carlos Del Rio Wilson, say, hey, we have a vacancy at backup quarterback and potentially QB1. Thoughts? And he said yes 2 weeks later. So clearly this is a reaction, a knee-jerk reaction to Justin Lanson, but he has 4 years of eligibility left, so it's not just a move for now. So I think this will help Dino Babers at least gain more favor with John Wildhack a little bit, but the biggest thing is, I think down the road, he's going to be the starting quarterback, and that's an upgrade.
Well, and the thing I like about this move for Babers is that it shows that he's trying in terms of he's attempting to improve this team, not only by going out and getting a quarterback, but really with the result that this is going to bring, in that he's going to create a quarterback competition, a battle within training camp, which only leads to success in many cases. So I like that he's trying something new, and not necessarily, and maybe not new because he kind of did it last year, but with more talent coming in, and you kind of just keep getting better from DeVito to Schrader to maybe Carlos, I think that that's really positive. And sure, you are going to have to see those results on the field if you're going to keep your job in 2022, but this is so much better than not doing this. So, and you know,
well for the listeners, it is an absolute response from Dino looking at his quarterback room minus Justin Lampson and saying, we just don't have enough. And you can make the argument that they didn't have enough with Lampson, but you got to credit Dino for doing something. And this team has a lot more now in the quarterback room than anyone expected that they would a week ago. Post-Justin Lampson, pre-Carlos, this is the dream scenario right now for Dino Babers. And you want to talk about competition? Sure, it's Garrett Schrader versus Carlos Del Rio Wilson right now, but later down the road, it's going to be Del Rio Wilson versus Justin Lampson. So that's good too.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, that's the other thing. You know, you're setting up 4 years of a quarterback. You know, this is a guy that hasn't played a snap. He redshirted last season. He's got all the eligibility in the world. You're setting up the future of your program right here. And hopefully Dino sees this as him coaching this guy for his entire collegiate career and then lamps him after that. I like it, of course. I think everybody knows that I like it at this point. But what I also like is that Babers has created competition and that he's kind of setting himself up for success in the future. Obviously, it all tends on whether or not Carlos is good. But, that's look, yet to be seen.
We can talk about the X's and O's, but I feel like at the very least, this is a win because of just getting the guy. And think about what this program was supposed to be when Dino came in 2016. Orange is the new fast. We have a dome. Dino Babers, flashy coach, makes these really cool locker room speeches sometimes, and occasionally we beat Clemson. Oh my God, they beat Clemson? Now this program's on the rise. It's the trendy program. Not so much over the last few years, but if Dino Babers can make Syracuse cool again, then that's basically all he has to do, right? So if Carlos Del Rio Wilson says, you know what? Yeah, I will leave Gainesville, Florida, the Sunshine State, to go to Syracuse, New York to play for this man, that's a vote of confidence, and it validates the program for future generations of not only transfers, although that's extremely important now with the portal just erupting, but also high school kids.
That's also going to be incredibly dependent on how good he is, though. I mean, if Del Rio Wilson comes in and isn't all that, I don't think anything's going to happen within transfers or four stars or five stars. That's not going to help at all. I mean, think about
It's very contingent on who he is as a player.
Yeah.
But at the very least, I think even if he's a flop, right? Even if he's a flop, there will still be a precedent for, okay, I'm not the first guy
for them to be able to get that,
as a highly touted guy.
They show the muscles. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's at least the positive. But what I was going to say is think about what the DBs have been for this program. I mean, with you having, they had three DBs go to the NFL in one season. I mean, that's bonkers. So you get guys after that, like Deuce Chestnut, who are going to come in, and hopefully guys after him. Jason Simmons in his interview after transferring to Syracuse, said he wanted to come to Syracuse because he wanted to go to the NFL, and he saw that SU was sending guys there, so wanted to be a part of that. So if Carlos can kind of create the same kind of pipeline, that would be hugely beneficial for the program down the road.
So we talked a little bit about Syracuse football and the ripple effects of Carlos Del Rio Wilson, the new quarterback on the program. We talk a little bit about what you guys had to say in response to us on Twitter. Now it's time to talk about basically the biggest aspect of the offense. And I don't think it's a surprise. It's a run-first offense. Sean Tucker is the best player on the team, if not the conference, best running back in maybe even the country. And so he's going to have the ball. Right? I mean, let's get real. I don't think that's crazy. So
no,
Sean Tucker's going to have the ball pretty consistently. And whether it's Del Rio Wilson or Schrader, that's going to be the heartbeat of the offense. So we move now to our depth chart segment. No surprise, I'll have you ostracized if you disagree. Sean Tucker's RB1. The only question is, who's behind him? And it's funny because it's one of the shallowest position groups on the team. It might be the best because of Tucker, but outside of Tucker, who do you have?
So the only two names are Juwan Price and LaQuint Allen that I'm aware of. I don't know if – is Cooper Lutz still around?
Cooper Lutz is still around, yeah.
Okay, well then maybe Cooper Lutz as well.
I haven't heard anything about him transferring.
Yeah, so him too. But yeah, I mean, it is a pretty shallow position. And Lutz kind of got blackballed by the offense after he had a couple of bad performances. So I don't even know if we'll see him in the mix as much this year. But with all this quarterback talk, I think you're right,
so he
Brad.
Did
we got
enter
a little bit carried away.
Portal. Tucker is he did man. Enter the portal. Lutz did enter the portal, but he did not actually find a destination.
Was he on the spring roster?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, well, then I'm going to assume he's going to be back with the team. But I guess these are all questions that Dino Babers might answer come ACC kickoff. But anyway, what I was going to say is, we're getting a little carried away. Sean Tucker is still the best player on this team, and he's still the focal point of the offense. So at least you have that coming into this year. You have probably one of the best, if not the best, returning back, and one of the best, if not the best, backs in the country, like you say, Brad. But you do have – it is shallow. But I don't think that matters all that much. You know, did it matter all that much last year? How many snaps or how many valuable possessions – did you see Abdul Adams and Jarvion Howard out there really making contributions, right? Sean Tucker's the guy, and it was like so, like in terms of the gap of talent, it was a pitfall. So I don't think that it's going to be like so detrimental that the next two guys are dudes you've never heard of. LaQuint Allen, a three-star running back that's coming in as a freshman this year, and then Price, the sophomore redshirt sophomore transfer. So these are two new faces in the program. We have no idea what they are. Don't forget that the year that Tucker broke out in 2020, he played behind Jawar Jordan in the first game, the first couple games. So you never really know what you have with three-star running backs, I suppose. And SC kind of knows how to groom them. At least they did in Tucker. So I think that you've got to be excited for this group, mostly because it has such an explosive player in the man who should be wearing 44. But you've also got some new faces, and those can be exciting. And one of them is going to be the guy one day.
Yeah, and I don't think that future guy is Allen. I think right now LaQuint Allen is just your kind of emergency running back. If, God forbid, Sean Tucker gets hurt or needs to be spelled, which does happen, and he is superhuman on the field, but he does occasionally get tired because he's a human being. So eventually someone's going to have to take some carries. If you're talking about who's the next guy, I think you're looking at either Juwan Price or even you've got, like, I mean, it's hard to even bring him up because people have forgotten about him, but Josh Hugh actually had a little bit of hype coming in, and a true freshman last year. I think he redshirted last year, so not much of a reason to really pay attention to him until now. He's going to be playing into some playing time, just inheriting it, you would think, with Abdul Adams and Jarvion Howard out of the picture.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not totally sold that I'm going to see that guy.
My running back depth chart is Sean Tucker first, Sean Tucker second, Sean Tucker third, and then you've got
Price. The three-legged race.
Yeah, right. So you got... I think after that, you probably have Price as your second guy on the running back depth chart. Coming from New Mexico State, he's probably the most made-to-order running back. And then everyone else is kind of a crapshoot. Probably, I would go Hugh and then Allen, just based on hype and high school, but you're kind of scraping the
I don't think
the bottom
two guys are going to matter. Exactly. I don't think it's going to matter. I think Price is going to be second off the bench when you need to – yeah. Sean Tucker needs a break, and then you're going to see him right back out there. So, yeah, I mean, I think this one's pretty cut and dry, probably the most cut and dry we've had just because it's just a crazy talent gap. But, I mean, it is what it is, I suppose.
Well, we appreciate you making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every day. Now go ahead and make your second listen, the Locked On NBA Big Board Podcast, Rafael Barlow, Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin give fans an in-depth look into the biggest prospects, the latest player rankings, and, of course, big boards. Follow Locked On NBA Big Board every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's free all over the place. Bones and I will be back tomorrow for a Friday morning edition of Locked On Syracuse. We still have to talk about the newest edition of Syracuse football, Carlos Del Rio Wilson, and we'll cap off the Syracuse football depth chart. All that and more on Friday morning's Locked On Syracuse. Don't miss it.